Hello, what's up? Excited to put this episode out now. I've been away in Amsterdam for the last couple of days with my girlfriend, so had a really nice time, just kick back, relax, you know yourself, and you just need to get away from life. But now we're back to business now with podcasting in college or whatever. So the first thing today that I wanted to show was, if you are interested in, you might have seen me say something about Pina Gold before. If you want to buy something and you want a little bit of a discount, you can use the Gold Trail 20, Gold Trail 20, for 20% off. Just in case you're looking for a little bit of clobber. After that though, I better mention this too, the old Tash, we're starting Movember. Now, I did have to make this decision a couple of weeks ago that I have extremely poor upper lip hair growth, so I would literally be at week 3.5 by the time I had something. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to start growing it from the start. Then my goal is to try and keep a big furry mustache for the month to kind of raise awareness for men's health. Back to today's podcast. Today's podcast is with Johnny Cooper of the Dublin Footballers. You know, his name is part of the history books now, you know, as the rest of the Dubs footballers will be this year. But we kind of didn't talk a huge amount about that. You know, we talked about his club games with Nafina, his Sigerson Cup days with DCU. You know, he's a very well-rounded man, and he's gained a lot of experience and wisdom from the different teams he's played on. So one of the main things we talked about was leadership and collaboration, which are definitely two things, and the way we broke them down, that I want to, you know, think about in my own game. So if you are an upcoming athlete, or you know, maybe you just play locally, or maybe you just want to try and get a little bit better or whatever, and be able to have better input into the team you're playing, I really hope you take something from this. So without further ado, there's not really much else I can say other than please enjoy and like, subscribe, share. God, that was a brain fart. Anyway, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Cooper. This is the Inside Trail. Can I monster? Ready? Thank you, Johnny. It's always nice to have someone crack open the first can of monster of the day.
Enjoy.
Now, first of all, I want to say thanks a million for coming down today to have a chat. The first time I actually came up to ask about the podcast, I was actually extremely nervous. I was like, geez, I mean, Johnny, what am I going to say? Blah, blah, blah. But I'm over that now, and I'm like, right, I'll be able to just talk to him now. So the way that I first heard of the things that you talk about was through the talk that you gave to the kind of sports area in DCU last week. And some of the main things that stood out to me were, you know, leadership and collaboration and, you know, the little small things. So I figure to start, what I would like to do is talk about the importance of leadership and your experience of leadership. So...
Yeah, where do you start, I guess? Well, first, I guess, thanks for having me. It's nice to be asked in these scenarios. But leadership, it's just something I'm fascinated with. I'm obviously still a player and an athlete, so I'm still trying to really just figure myself out. But I guess from the bit of experience that I have had in sports and business and professional life and other things, I guess you just see certain people sort of standing out. And it just intrigues me to know why, you know, some people, and I don't know Paul O'Connell or these types of people, why some people seem to command a respect almost instantaneously, or if they're talking, even though I've never heard them talk in a dressing room, I'm sure it'd be very silent and so on. It's just, I guess, that kind of ability to control and manage other people and influence is probably a good way of putting it. So I guess that's why I'm interested in a way of, can I not be that person, but maybe can I lend some of my skill set, or can I maybe go learn other things to give me an ability to influence people even more so. So that's what I'm trying to do, I guess, now as a current player, is just try to figure that side of it out and talk conversations like this and talk to other athletes and meet other sports and visit other teams and organisations and so on, and just try to gather as much as I can, just to try to get a sense of it all. You know, it's obviously a vast area, leadership, what goes on and everything else.
And how does leadership work in, like, you know, obviously you need to get the best out of yourself, and then it obviously comes from other people. So how do you go about that in, you know, being in a team, or as you said, in a professional thing, or just in life? How do you kind of draw that line between, you know, obviously looking after your own house, but then, you know, the outside circle as well?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point and question that you raised. I think, like, first and foremost, from a sporting capacity, you're there to perform and inject your value into the team. And if you invert that and you start to look at team and other people, and you're trying to push others ahead, but all of a sudden you're falling back, then obviously you're not getting out of it what you want, and you're there in the first place for a reason. So I guess it is, and I've fallen on the wrong side of it a couple of times, in terms of, okay, I need to make sure this, and this from a team perspective is sort of in hand and in check, and then all of a sudden you realise it's 2 or 3 weeks gone and you haven't really put home into your game. So, well, I guess your question is, how do you manage? I guess I'm still trying to figure it out, but in the last, say, year or two, I've certainly realised that my best value into any group that I'm involved with is putting my own best foot forward. At the same time, it's my nature as well to make sure that other people are sort of taken care of, or the team as a whole is taken care of. So I guess it just depends on the scenario, it depends on the issue, it depends on how fit or how well you're going. And if you're going well, then obviously maybe you can dip into the team. If you're not, maybe a little bit more focus on yourself. But I just find it's context or scenario dependent, season, time in the season dependent, as to how much you lend yourself to other people. For example, at the start of a season, typically I'd focus on myself a lot more to get myself a really good foundation up to a certain level, and then once I'm happy there, then maybe take off the blinkers a little bit and look left and right. So that's sort of what it is.
And then, you know, obviously when you come into certain teams, or, you know, obviously you have in the Dublin team and in the Fianna, is there a way, you know, when you come in at the start, you obviously aren't seen as a leader? How does one, you know, for younger people, how do they step into a leadership role? How does one, you know, let's say you're coming up and you're, you know, coming from a minor team into a senior team, and, you know, you want to be taken seriously, but you don't want to overstep, but you do want to be seen as that. What kind of advice could you give to someone who is, you know, trying to see themselves in that role but doesn't exactly want to force it?
Yeah, I think force is the key bit, because I was going to say, whenever it feels natural to interject, and I know from my own experience, I now see certain young guys around the teams I'm involved with, sort of, and I can see them looking and they're engaged in something, but maybe just don't have the confidence or the belief, or maybe they think they haven't been around enough and so on to actually interject and maybe say something, which is natural enough. But in terms of the mix and the way in which I have seen it work, and probably not so much myself, but I've seen it work in others, is, like, certainly taking that period of whatever the time is to listen and to actively listen, to really have your eyes and ears up, to get a sense of, okay, here's what this person who's here 5 years, this is what they think, and that's what that person, this is what I think, and then maybe trying to find someone in the middle. And then probably, like, when it feels natural to interject, you'll always find, you know, not always, but from some of the experience I've had, you'll find that the real powerful sort of people that are maybe in that bracket of maybe there 2 years, sort of 1 to 2, 3 years, even three sometimes, sort of come in and just, like, something really punchy, that it wasn't really rocket science what they said, but it was just coming from a really good place of care, and you can kind of sense they have listened and they gathered a lot of information, or say this one sentence, that's their input. And then the opposite of that then is sort of coming in maybe a couple of months or a year, and not to say you don't say something, but at the same time I've seen people kind of do it the opposite, saying things just to be heard sometimes, or just to make sure that a team manager or coach or maybe a senior player sees or hears somebody talking, whereas in actual fact it's actually the value in the I guess the point they're trying to make, as opposed to the I guess the just speaking for the sake of speaking.
Yeah, I think that's something that's, if you're speaking for the sake of speaking, I think can be, you know, it can always nearly work negatively against you, especially if you're in a team where there are people who have experience and wisdom, and, you know, it's probably not, you know, if you're just speaking for the sake of being heard, it might be the best idea, but you know, depends on the team, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, and I think you can see it as well. You can feel it, actually. If you're in a team environment, you can really feel this person is after taking 60 seconds of noise versus this person's after giving this team value of 60 seconds of real depth and insight, yeah, based off the knowledge and the analysis and the thoughts that they've really gathered just to consolidate one particular point. And I think you can definitely see it. And sometimes that's probably the gauge as well. When it's just going one ear and out the other, or when's it going in the ear and staying? Yeah. And that's probably a gauge as well.
Yeah. Well, I was like, you're obviously considered a leader in the teams that you play. And I was actually reading today that you have six All Ireland, but you have five in different positions. You have different. Am I right in saying that it's
five,
two,
like
three,
that.
Four, five, six?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like,
yeah, it's just a way. Well, in a way, it's true, and in other ways, the positions you play,
you kind still of, end up kind of working back the number of the jersey, I suppose, as well, in football.
But yeah, I think I've officially started or had a number on my back in all the different positions.
Yeah. That's like, obviously anyone watching this knows, but obviously a huge congratulations on, you know, becoming part of the history books. And you know, it's obviously, I think the Kerry team, what was that, what year is that, the 70s?
Yeah, maybe 70s, yeah.
But it's a testament to you and your team, and you know, whatever goes on in the dressing rooms, I know that's what happens in the dressing room and all that, but a huge testament to what you were able to do over the last, you know, 7 years, really, the whole...
Yeah, this team's been on a journey, I think. I think there's a long way to go, to be blunt about it, and I don't mean to be... demeaning to this year or the last couple of years in any way, but I just think as a group there's a lot of competitive drive that obviously the narrative this year was on five in a row and doing something nobody's ever done before. And to be brutally honest about it, on the internal, on the inside of our team environment, it was referenced, and certainly this is what it is, but it was never something that was an extra driving or an extra pressure in that sense. And just as equally, next year people would be saying six and
seven,
or yeah, even the DAC yesterday. So it probably just comes back to, you know, why you're in the room and so on. Because again, look, it's fine lines as well. It can easily go against you, and we can easily be not having this conversation. So I think there's an awareness there, I guess, there's a maturity somewhat to be aware of these pitfalls.
Yeah. And then one of the other things that you spoke about the last day was collaborations.
Yeah.
So do you want to...
Well, I'm just a... Look, I'm still learning, and I can't probably say it enough, I'm still learning, and a ton that I want to learn and get to know and meet people and all this sort of stuff. And I just believe that from my experience, for whatever, and I'm not particularly extrovert or particularly confident of approaching people, but because I wanted always and still do want to get better, I was always just willing to send an email or send a text or ask somebody for somebody's number. And to mostly send a text, but sometimes make a phone call. I'm just a big believer in somebody being able to fill other gaps for you and potentially accelerate something for you. And that could only be accelerating a piece of information that they give you by a week, or could be accelerating, okay, don't do it that way and go around this way and you'll get there a month quicker. Mm-hmm. And that can be anything. That can be, you know, analysis, that can be tactical, that can be physical, emotional, whatever it happens to be. So this whole idea, and obviously it's not rocket science, just talking to someone and getting their insight, but I'm just a big believer in just approaching people and just asking them a question of what did you think, or what was your view on X. And it doesn't have to be from a Gaelic football, it can be emotional, how do you train, or what did you actually do last week, tell me what you did last week. And for the most part, you know what, like 60, 70, 80% you lose, you don't remember when you walk out the door, but potentially there's one piece of information that maybe falls, actually lands on that day, and you go, oh, actually, I could actually do that tomorrow. Or maybe you're doing something next week or the next month, and that's when it lands. And sometimes you get this, as is shown on the presentation, you get these dots of all the work that you do, then the dot, they all start to interconnect, and they just feels right.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of a bit of knowledge versus experience, and that kind of comes together as well. But yeah, just like, I might mention one of the hacks later on, but one or two ways which I go about it, that I found that works for me and just adds value, I guess.
Yeah. And then, is there anything in particular that you learned from, you obviously don't have to say the specific person, but is there anything that came away from talking to someone and said, you know, that's something I need to bring in, or that's something I need to, obviously there's probably a few, but is there any that stand out as, you know, a very important one that that you learned early on, or maybe even more recently?
Probably one of the ones earlier on from a senior member of the team, Dublin team, that's still on the Dublin team, would be just that active listening. So knowing, you know, knowing where the lines are, knowing when to like listen and really listen. And why did he? It's not just listening for voice; it's listening more so, maybe watching as well for like expression or tone or body language. You'll often see when somebody's really animated, maybe their shoulders are back and their eyes are up, and they really believe in, and you can see them really cutting through it. So they obviously feel really strongly about that point, but maybe the next point or a week later or two, someone else is sort of making a point and maybe just throwing it out there, and just they're not really engaged. So in other words, they haven't really thought about this in order to deliver it with an impactful kind of way. So that whole skill of, maybe it's more than listening, maybe it's sort of that awareness as well, and bringing all your senses together to know, and they obviously hear what the person's saying, but really then try to dig down and as best you can see behind the eyes and see behind and just see if they really, and then potentially maybe probing that. I see you said that in the meeting earlier on about why you kicked the ball there. I'm just wondering, I actually seen it a different way. I'm just wondering, could you give me a sense of why you actually thought that way? And obviously I could be wrong and he could be right or vice versa, but again, it's just trying to, I guess, always probe and just see something out. So if you think of that loop of training and so on, you train, you compete, you compete in the game, you do the feedback, and just keep that loop. So it's kind of the same idea in a way of what are you seeing or hearing, okay, maybe probing that and then following it up to get complete clarity for one way or the other, just to say, okay, that's something I can bring in, because I never actually seen it. It's something I could bring in and I could pass that on or use it or whatever it happens to be. Yeah, it's probably that whole listening and that awareness thing. Maybe it's more awareness, to be honest, of actually what people are saying versus like how they're backing it up with body language.
Yeah. And then just also on that, I feel that, you know, this kind of asking people, and like, you could be wrong, I could be wrong, but you want to talk about it. Is it a case that there's like, there's no room for egos? Is that the...
Yeah, that's probably a certain element of it, like the ego side of it. And some people, I guess some people, I have an ego, we all have egos, yeah. Some people need to, you know, be reminded of that. And I guess then on the other side of that, you're going, hold on a minute, I'm a competitor, and this guy that I mark every week has a really key answer. If I can just ask the right question, he can give me the answer that I want in order to fill this piece of the jigsaw puzzle. So I think that kind of that feedback thing comes back to that honesty of honesty with yourself. And I think that's the first place you always have to start when you pull out the little mirror, and that's, you know, who's looking back at you. Did you put in the preparation? Did you do all the stuff? Or were you sort of looking away and during the preparation? But yeah, I think that feedback, I don't even really know if I answered the question, but I think that feedback is certainly something you need to seek and seek constantly.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, get a piece of something that's valuable, and then also go and do something, as opposed to just continuously obviously stacking feedbacks on top of feedbacks and not really making any meaningful change, I guess.
Yeah, no. So then on those changes, so the last part of the talk that you gave that I wanted to discuss was all the little things, you know, and the changes that people can make to, you know, if you're, maybe you're trying to become a pro, maybe you're, you know, just getting back into sport or whatever it is for someone listening. So what kind of, how do, you know, it's not just that you want to change, it has to be like a behavioural change.
Yeah.
So how does one go about in changing these little things?
Probably for me, and say it again, I'm still learning, I still don't fully know this, but from where I stand right now, probably comes back in terms of the real driver. So what's the purpose, like what is, and that's what I was saying to the group the last time, where do you want to go? Like, do you want to, and this is obviously an open question, do you want to be an Olympian, or is it just, you know, you happen to get a scholarship and you're happy enough to take whatever's there, or do you really want to go after it and do something no one's ever done before, whatever it happens to be? So probably for me, it always comes back to that. If you have a really strong, solid purpose and value set that in some ways really hard to rock, no matter how much you shift, no matter how much it's raining or dark or cold, or you have no money to get somewhere and so on and so on. So for me, that's the starting point, and then everything else just falls off that. You know, if you're willing to want to be an Olympian, you obviously have to commit the time and the effort and seek the knowledge and so on. So I think there's tons of resources, inexpensive free resources there. So that's there. It's just about whether somebody then is willing or has the passion or the commitment to actually go and seek them out to order to get to the next level. So that's probably what it comes down to, in simple ways, is probably just that real driver. Where does somebody want to go? Because I've certainly found from my experience, there's so many people out there that would help if you just, I guess, ask enough questions of enough people, and eventually you'll start to join those dots and the picture starts to become a little bit more clear. There'll obviously be, you'll obviously have to have resilience and different things for you know, down days and down weeks and seasons and so on, but injuries and form and everything else. But I think there's a lot of resource out there that people can get in a couple of seconds, a couple of minutes, if they really wanted to. But yeah, probably the driver is the purpose part for me.
Yeah. And then, so within that, obviously there's so many elements that feed into being an athlete and a high performing athlete. What are the key ones for you? Obviously, you know, like this diet, sleep, all these trainings. What are, for you personally, like what do you feel are the most important things for you performing at a high level?
Probably just that discipline, and you'll probably, you know, take discipline into the physical and the mental and so on. But I guess that discipline, just to keep going back and keep going back. Discipline of being scheduled, discipline of having good and positive mindset, discipline of, it's probably a generic answer in some ways, because discipline is such a vast area, but
feeds into a lot of
it. A lot of things, and you know, it's all right showing up to training, or it's all right, you know, after winning a couple of games and all of a sudden, you know, you're getting a bit of momentum, and it's all right in that case, but then you start to lose, and you have the discipline to actually figure out the back step a couple of meters and figure out where actually was the first step that you went wrong. Discipline to know that when, if you won something, that there's a higher level again, and to go after it again. And so it's probably just that, and I don't know if it's necessarily a skill in itself. It probably comes back to a little bit of the environment that you're in. Is there other people that are able to positively influence you to give you a sense of, you know, discipline is a really key bit to this whole puzzle. And if I can just get a handle on that, if I can map out my next couple of weeks and just really start to structure everything to build and build slowly but surely towards something. So that's probably been a key one. There's probably other ones in terms of pillars, like the physical or some things that come into it. But in terms of the one that's a constant thread through them all, it probably will be that discipline element.
It's a good one. And as I said, it does feed into all those other ones. If you have discipline in your you know, diet, sleep, playing football, and your mental discipline, it is a good one. So it does definitely feed into a lot of them. So the last thing that I wanted to ask was, obviously you're here in DCU now, and you went to college here as well, right? And you've two Sigerson titles as well.
Two, yeah.
I was down watching a Sigerson match the other night, and I was just wondering, what is, you know, there's, for players coming through, obviously people want to play in the best teams possible, and the college team seem to be, you know, near up there with inter-county standard in some level. So for people kind of coming into college, and maybe they don't have, you know, maybe they're not starting a county team, maybe they're a little bit far off, but they are, you know, what advice would you give to people in college now, and they're playing in college teams, but they're trying to get that last push up, what advice would you give them?
The big thing that I remember, or probably got, the main thing I probably got from college, was being able to immerse myself with people. Like, I know we're only from Donegal, or from, yeah, we're great. I know from Donegal, or from Mayo, or from just down the road, but I always found that being able to immerse myself with different people, you know, they didn't necessarily have a massive change in the background that, or the upbringing that I would have as such, but just being able to get a sense, even like something as simple as style of play, or again, coming back to, they see the game slightly different based off the club that they're from, or the family upbringing, or the ethos they had in their club, and so on. And I would have played a couple of years. We won two, and we lost two as well. In terms of finals, but it was just probably that journey along the way. Of, I remember we used to do sessions at crossing the gym at whatever time, 6:30. You would have been up here, and just trying to get a sense of who's here first. And okay, used to be maybe someone like the guys used to live on campus, maybe Michael Murphy or Paul Flynn or something. And you can see they're coming in, you can see that their sort of attitude, and it's 6:30 in the morning. And again, just trying to immerse yourself. And I am probably still, but more so at that age when I was 19 or so, a little bit quieter, so you're able to like sort of look around and see what people are saying or doing. Not a whole pile, sometimes at 6:30 in the morning. But I guess the point being that just trying to immerse yourself into things. And again, it probably comes back to, okay, why and how do they see it that way? And then when you're on the pitch, you could probe it a little bit further. But yeah, and again, there's always resources, I guarantee you, the good ones will always help, as in if you're looking to get to an inter-county team and there's somebody you think that's in the university or a coach or somewhere, there's always people that will be willing to bridge a gap or help you bridge a small bit of the gap. That's always found as well about the university, it's just that kind of supportive, open in many ways, albeit from different counties, in different different counties. It just seems very open as well, that you're obviously now a DCU jersey or a DCU course that you're in, so you're kind of one in that sense. So just being open, I guess, to asking other people, probably comes back to my earlier point, asking other people of what do they think and how do they see it, and just trying to build slowly but surely towards maybe where they want to get to in terms of a goal or an aspiration.
Yeah, that's good. Like, I remember when you were talking about this kind of stuff during your talk, I remember being like, this is the exact kind of thing I want people to be able to listen to on the podcast. So, like, those three headers, I feel like people will take a lot from them.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to push us on to our segments now.
Yeah, sure.
So, your life hack?
It will probably be, I have started looking at people's, like, Twitters and followers. So, for example, I'd find someone like, I don't know, Owen Farrell or somebody that I like from a sporting point of view, or maybe an organisation, maybe like a really progressive, just say Adidas athletes or whatever it happens to be, so something that you kind of like, or a performance centre or something. And then sometimes what I will do is go into their followers and then see, okay, they follow, just say it's some performance institute in the States that's well renowned with all NFL athletes, whatever it happens to be, go into their followers and you'll see maybe one or two other performance institutes. And maybe just click in and just start to go off into rabbit holes, and you'll eventually find one or two either athletes or people that maybe throw up some content or some kind of good videos or descriptors on tactical or physical gym things and things like that. So that's certainly something I still do it today as well, that I go into people's followers and just sort of filter my way through.
Roam around
and see what's there, because you'll obviously, they follow this big performance, it follows someone for a reason because they throw up some good stuff, and then you'll find they follow someone for a reason. So just trying to, I guess, find people to follow.
That's a good one. Right, so these random questions are basically just designed to just, I don't know. Sorry, so what company or franchise do you wish would go out of business?
Out of business?
Yeah. Like, is there anything that you're just like, I actually don't back that? Like,
I've heard a lot of bad stuff about Amazon recently, even though I buy a lot of stuff on Amazon, but I've heard a lot of stuff about their employee welfare and things like that, so maybe it's too strong for them to go out of business, to be honest. But,
well, a nice tax maybe bracket or deduction from them, maybe just something that'll hit their pockets. Okay, so what should the first colony on another planet be called? Like, if you could name, let's say we colonize Mars, what would you name them?
What would I name them? God, what have other people said for this question?
But this is just completely you, I just make them up every time I do one.
Sure, like, it could be anything.
The Coopers.
Something a little more original than that.
Yeah.
I'm on the spot here, but colony on Mars, what would you call them? Nothing's jumping out, to be honest.
Martians.
Martians.
Alright, so what are you really happy about being terrible at? Is there anything you're terrible at? They say, I'm so happy I'm not good at that.
I can't remember what happened this morning, to be honest. Even though I liked it, I can't remember what happened this morning. I just have an inability to, once something's gone,
it's gone,
that's not massively important to me, I'll just forget about it instantly and just move on, which is a good thing in a way, because moving on, but a bad thing if you need to remember something.
fair. Okay, what song would you pay money to never hear again? You know, one that maybe pops on the radio and you're just like, next.
Probably like Wonderwall or one of them things, even though they don't come on that often, but like, it's just a song at every, or most parties, I guess, at some stage.
Someone pulls out the guitar. Like,
yeah, it seems to be the go-to one, even though it's, I'll be singing along at that stage.
Yeah,
but,
fair.
If it comes on the radio, like, not this song again, I've heard this.
Fair. Okay, what is the most important object you own?
Probably iPhone, I'd imagine. It's kind of one-stop shop. It's probably scary how much you're connected to it sometimes, but... that probably, if I don't have that, I could probably live without lots of other things, but the iPhone's kind of a one-stop shop for anything.
It is. It's weird that, like, we're so connected to this little box in our pockets, you know, and it just connects us to everywhere else. Like,
yeah, it's scary, and that's all obviously on a superficial level. When sometimes you go to talk to someone and you find it hard, but you can write them an email and they're sitting next to you, or a tweet or something, which is scary.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of a bit of a ramble here, but it's kind of what I feel like generations below, you know, like people who are 9 and 10 now, that's how they learn to communicate, is all over the phone, and then, you know, they're in schools and stuff, and the face-to-face conversations aren't the same as, you know, hours in a Snapchat group chat, you know?
I know, and they all lack, as you're saying, like, they lack expression and tone, and sometimes you text someone something joking, obviously it's taken a different way as to what the person interprets, and I think you're right. Like, so I work a lot in secondary schools, and, like, it's just incredible. In a couple of years, I worked in secondary schools, not predominantly because of phones, but a lot because of social pressure.
Yeah.
The amount of people, from talking to teachers and just seeing pressure in people, the amount it's risen just a few short years. So I think like the 10, 11, 12 year olds now, it's going
to
be scary.
It is going to be a scary, you know, 10 years time to see what their kind of lives and even like their friendships and their relationships and how that'll, I'm glad it's not me, to be honest.
It's tough on them.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. Okay, so the last section we have is the trivia. Now, there's 10 of them here, right? The highest score anyone's ever got is 5. I think 4 people have hit the 5. So,
okay,
you know, let's see. Okay, so, in what year did Mother Teresa win the Nobel Peace Prize?
Oh, I have no clue. I remember she was in DCU here years ago.
If you can get it within a year, I'll give it to you.
What year did she win? 84.
79. What type of creature is a Garibaldi?
Insect.
The fish.
Insect family, no?
Maybe. What type of food is quark?
I feel like you're tricking me, or fish.
Jeez.
was it five?
That's only 3 wrong. You still got 7 to go.
Need the phone on the next one.
Yeah. To be fair, some people only get 1. You know, so and like
you started at 5 and now you're at 1. Go on.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, like anyway. All right. So, what is the name for a group of crows?
Are these the same questions for everyone?
No, they're different every all the time. That's why some people get 1 and some people get 5.
There's a tough set of questions.
Yeah.
A group of crows, having a breeze, to be honest.
A murder. That's actually
a murder.
Yeah.
That's not a chance.
See, you might get this one. What is the Super Bowl trophy called?
Vince Lombardi.
Yes, there we are. See, now you're on the board.
One sporting one. Any more sports ones?
Is there another one down there? How many strings are there on a ukulele?
3? 4. I would have said 2 or 3 or something.
What is the largest artery in the human body?
I should know this because I did sports science and I did study this, but that was a few years ago. What archery?
Yeah.
Do you know like the aorta is the archery?
Yeah. That's it. There's 2, yeah. Alright, so what is a person called who shoes horses?
A horseman?
A farrier. That's a horrible. Alright, there's 2 more, right? These last 2 aren't. So, which vegetable is also known as an eggplant?
Yeah, like I would have come across this, but which vegetable? Like. Trying to think of the name, but I can see it in my head. Eggplant.
Yeah.
I don't know.
An aubergine.
No, I
wouldn't. Not even got that.
Something else.
Right, last one. New York City or New York is on what river? It's a couple of movies.
Yeah, cool. The flight that landed.
Yeah.
Hudson.
Yeah, nice. That's 3, like.
3.
Like that's.
Set of questions.
I think the most average score is like 3, 3.5. So like.
You started with 5, then with the 1. Now we started back to 3.
So. No, like 1 is the lowest and 5 is the highest out of 10. So you know.
I'm average, which is consistent enough.
Look, it's been a crack to finish off a nice conversation. But Johnny, thanks many for coming on today. I feel like a lot of what we talked about at the start, people will find useful, especially, you know, young athletes or even athletes, you know, my age and you know, older than me who might be just getting back into or trying to rejig the way that they play. So I hope someone will find this useful. But thanks many for coming on.
No problem.
And I wish you the best in the future.
Thank you very much. Pleasure. Thank you. Ba-da-ba-ba.